Heart members, welcome to September's audio lesson. I'm so happy to be here with you. This is literally one of the best parts of my work. I like to think of you taking a break, a walk, listening while you're exercising or in a break between clients, just receiving some encouragement, some aha moments. You know, who knows what's possible when you listen to these audio lessons, and they're just for you. No one else gets these ones, which is kind of cool. I feel like we're having a secret conversation behind the scenes. And every time I record one of these lessons, I consider it to be just a little seed that plants in your brain, and then you get to do with it whatever you want or need it to be. You get to just nourish it to be something that provides you with insight for a conflict that you might be going through, or a direction in your teaching, or just like a release valve to say, oh, wow, I'm so glad someone else said something that I was thinking about. And I know all of those things happen because you tell me about them through your messages and in our Facebook group. And I love hearing from you about all of the learning that you're doing within this material. It's just a really wonderful community that we have. And I'm really excited about this month's affirmation because it's a powerful one. And the power comes from one specific word in the affirmation. That word is change. Change can be scary. And many of us would prefer to avoid it altogether or to just let it happen at like a low grade, non-invasive level and or have it only happen for the positive. But the truth is that nothing in the growth process is particularly comfortable or easy, let's face it. So when it comes to change, I feel that people avoid making big changes, even if they know that they'll serve them in the big picture, because it requires often that we set new boundaries, new ways of relating to people, clients, and those around us, new ways of viewing ourselves in the world, and also a shift in the way we expected things to be. So it's a common human behavior to search for certainty. The brain is actually wired to be a gap filler. It's a problem solver, because the quicker we solve our problems, the quicker we come up with an answer, the easier it is to rest and not be stressed out by it. Hello, the world is flat, not round, right? It's things like that. We come up with answers that seem like they make sense at the time. We're storytellers innately, but the problem with this function of our mind is that it doesn't always reference the truth and or the full big picture. So when we are considering our pathway as teachers of movement and we are looking for certainty within that pathway, certainty will always require that we play small, because it can only happen in a very tiny vacuum of a closed environment. And even then, uncertainty finds its way in. There's an interesting mode of study that I've been looking into, and it's something that we're diving deep into in my Gem Seekers coaching group. And it's called the OODA loop, which is OODA, and it stands for observation, orientation, decision, and action. It's a military tactic that was popularized by a military strategist named John Boyd. And you can look it up and learn all about it. But the part of it that's relevant to our conversation today is the part that talks about orientation, which simply put is the ability to take what it is you're observing and all of the pieces that are coming from your full observation of whatever situation is happening in your life and synthesize the pieces together, pull them together to come up with the most obvious correct choice. So I'm going to break that down a little bit more for you, meaning sometimes we observe a situation and we look at it and we see that a client is maybe not getting what we're trying to teach them. And instead of looking deeper and trying to gain more information about that information, we go to the gap filler of the brain and we start to storytell. We look at the thing that's not matching up. I'm teaching the thing, they're not getting the thing. Therefore, the story is there must be something wrong with my teaching. And therein lies a belief that if told enough times to ourselves becomes a truth in our mind. So we can see where the negative aspect of this is. Now, That is an example of observing without distinct orientation, without going one step further to see where all of the pieces come together to make a correct choice, a choice that serves us as opposed to a story that does not. Now, when you orient, when you start to look at all of the pieces, all of the elements that are there in front of you, you might start to notice, oh, the client isn't getting it because perhaps I may not have addressed their learning style. So let me try to demonstrate or use hands-on or try a different cue or ask for feedback or whatever it is. You have more choices anytime you start to practice orientation. So when we look at this idea of avoiding change or moving towards change and certainty versus uncertainty, we can get stuck in this small closed box of thinking that we are in a realm of certainty based on the story that we've told ourselves. So the client doesn't get it, we are teaching it, we don't see what else is wrong, we create the story that says, there must be something wrong with my teaching, or maybe I don't know how to teach this, or whatever it is. That becomes a statement with a hard period on the end, which, again, if told enough times, becomes true or something that is certain. It's comforting, even if the certainty isn't serving our overall process, it's comforting to have a certainty because it's something that we can consistently go back to and rely on over and over again. Whereas in the example of orientation, we're now working with a bigger, more open box. We're now working with more pieces, we're considering our options, and we don't know what's going to happen with the outcome, but once again, we're focused on the process of moving towards something that seems like it's the most logical, correct next step that's going to serve us. So why am I telling you all of this? What does any of this military and mindfulness talk have to do with teaching Pilates or yoga or dance or movement? I will tell you, because the open box of our teaching process actually allows us for positive growth and progressive change. Whereas the box that houses certainty either keeps us from growing or changes our trajectory to hold us back. And that, my friends, all leads us up to our affirmation for September, which is, I am allowed to change my mind. This one is so powerful and oh so stinky. And if you are reacting to it, then I urge you to go to your bonus portal and start doing one of the breathing exercises because it's all good. It is all good. You're right where you're supposed to be. And it should make you react, especially if you've been holding yourself back from maybe changing your mind. This one came up so hugely for me when I started to just explore outside of the realm of my Pilates education. When I started to look into anatomy, biomechanics, I started doing something called resistance training specialist education, which is all about force angles and load, etc. And I started learning about ways in which other methodologies, modalities, disciplines looked at the body. And lo and behold, some of those ways made more sense than the way I was taught to teach. But I was afraid to go against the quote-unquote rules that I had been trained under for fear of those good old-fashioned police that might show up and say, hey, that's not Pilates you're teaching, or that's not yoga you're teaching, or what are you doing? You don't even know what you're doing. All of those stinky shadow stories that come up. So I held myself back. And in certain cases, I made everything a little more complicated than it needed to be. And then there was one moment when I was working with a client who wasn't getting it, like the example. And I heard myself saying, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to teach. I wasn't saying it out loud, but it was happening in my brain. And at this point, I was 12 years in, my friends, 12 years in. And I thought to myself, if I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to teach, then I think it's probably time to stop. And thankfully, another part of my voice interrupted and said, why don't you use the other tools that you have? And then my first voice says, but that wouldn't be teaching Pilates. And the other voice said, who cares? Just make it work for the client. And the other voice said, okay, I guess we'll try because I don't want to stop doing this. And then I went into what I affectionately refer to as the laboratory of my mind and started tossing out some new elements. Now, I wish I had this affirmation at the time. It was born from that time, but unfortunately I didn't have it at that time, because had I had this whole thought process and had I had outlets to kind of just qualify where these thoughts were coming from and how they were actually going to contribute to this open-ended laboratory that could bring about change for positive growth, I probably would have been a little bit better off, because instead I went after the change. I started integrating the different tools that I had learned throughout my years of educating and being an educator and also receiving education. And I started getting excited and I started telling everybody about all the things that I was doing. And not unlike sometimes what happens now in my life, I started making a lot of people's head spin. It was confusing. I hadn't quite figured it out for myself. So I was just throwing a lot of information at my clients and my colleagues. And I was really excited because there was a process going on in my brain, but it wasn't exactly coming out in a clear way to anybody else. And if I had to go back and use the affirmation, the message would have been, you are allowed to change your mind, comma, and you don't have to defend, qualify, explain, or get anybody else on board with the change that you're making. And that is the powerful movement, my friends. That's the powerful movement. In this day and age of complete vulnerability and oversharing on the internet and with clients and with your friends and family and whoever else, your blog, it is so, so provocative to feel a need to defend and qualify and share and back up anything you do within not only your professional life, but also your personal life. And the reality is that you don't owe an explanation to anyone, because what's actually happening when you open up that container to consider change and take perspective and give yourself permission to think differently about something, you actually are offering an opportunity to other people to do the same. Now, whether they want to pick up that opportunity for themselves is totally up to them. So we can't walk around and thinking I'm changing my mind and I'm going to offer the world an opportunity to do the same. That's not part of it. You are responsible for your side of the street. You're responsible for shepherding yourself through a mindset change that is in service of your overall growth and perspective and fulfillment ultimately in your work, fulfillment. But you're not responsible for anybody else's. So in this month's writing exercise, I asked for a journaling prompt. I gave you a journaling prompt. And in it, I asked you to take a little inventory of some of the ways that you might be thinking about your work or talking about it. And below that, I've given you a number of examples of how you can appropriately and, I want to say, safely address changes within your practice and with your colleagues and the people who you interact with. Ways that set a boundary, that keep the process of your mindset change to yourself and sacred without the need to defend it to anybody else, but then also offer that exact opportunity, that give other people a chance to get on board. Many times, we feel like in order to make a change to something that we've been teaching or the way we've been doing an exercise, it feels like we have to receive approval from our clients in order to move forward. Like somehow if we change the way they've been doing it for a long time, then we're undermining our own expertise. And I want to offer you an alternative perspective, which says that when you give yourself permission to change your mind, you give your clients also permission to see things differently. You give your clients an opportunity to approach an old favorite from a different perspective, and that doesn't negate or erase what they've learned, but actually it widens the container for strategies that they now have to address that movement. This is the part I love about teaching. It's not the definition and the steps and the exact spring setting and the doing it right perfectionism aspect of everything, but it is setting yourself up with enough permission and open-ended exploration where you can actually create meaning for yourself within your work and for your client within their movement or your class. It's the part that keeps me in it over and over again. It's the problem-solving aspect, the creative aspect, and it's the part that actually offers space for me to show up as who I am with all of my experience. I think the teachers that show up with not only the knowledge of how it should happen and where and when and with what equipment and what position, but also with the wisdom of how different iterations of a same movement are possible, I think those teachers are the ones that hold so much power. But so often within established methods, we hold ourselves back because we're afraid of going against the grain. We're afraid of being called out for not doing the thing that we tell people that we're doing. And I want to remind you that there's always going to be somebody who's poking around and trying to figure you out. And usually they're doing that because they're interested. I love, there's a quote, I can't remember who said it, but it was something along the line of, if you're scrolling on my feed on social media and you keep looking at my stuff and you always have something to say, even if you're a troll or you're talking behind my back, well, I hate to say it to you, but that makes you a fan. You might not be like a celebratory fan that's, you know, excited about everything I post, but if you're consistently looking in and watching and following, you're a fan. So when someone is consistently evaluating your teaching or consistently looking at what you're doing and questioning it, even if they haven't made sense of it for themselves, even if they say something that's just like silly or critical or off the cuff, they're a fan. If they can't stay in their own lane and they're consistently pulled towards yours, they are a fan of yours. Now, it might not be in the way that we want it to be, but realistically speaking, if you can find a little bit of just comfort, it's maybe a hard word to grasp onto, but if you can find a little bit of comfort in the fact that the people who are paying attention to you can be considered fans, then you just can stay again in your own lane and you can stay cleaning up your side of the street with your process and with your clients. There is this unfortunate belief that's been adopted throughout the profession of teaching movement that says that there's a possibility for somebody to do it the best, whether it's a handstand, a teaser, a squat contest, a pull-up. There is this belief that it's possible for someone to be the best. Even listening to those words, I know that you know it's impossible. Because every single person who comes to the table comes with a different set of experiences, brain power, DNA, thoughts, what they're going to use the exercises for, all of it. And so the minute we start to release this idea that we're working towards the best, which is another way of grasping towards certainty, by the way, then we can start to open the container and discover what it is we're here to say about movement. What it is we're here to teach our clients, whether it's the exercise, the count, the timing, or some other worldly lesson that might inspire their life in a total different trajectory. Now, if you've listened to Pilates Unfiltered or any of my online Instagram lives, you may have heard me talking about my alter ego named Cheryl. She is not a Sasha Fierce like Beyonce. She's more like a whiny, just critical voice that lives in the back of my head. But she'll come up, especially when I'm playing in the open container, when I'm starting to consider possibilities, when I'm starting to see things differently. She'll come up and she'll be like, oh yeah? You think you're going to host a podcast about Pilates? You think you're going to record a lesson on certainty? Really? What do you know about it? And she just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. This is the time where I pull in my affirmation. And I say, thank you, Cheryl, for showing up, because it's important that you're here. You make me check in on myself, with myself. But I am allowed to change my mind. And I might repeat it 16 times to get her to quiet down. I am allowed to change my mind. I am allowed to see an open space. I'm allowed to create. I'm allowed to mess it up along the way. I'm allowed to let it go if the change doesn't work for me. I'm allowed to be in my process as a teacher of movement. And I'm allowed to be okay with someone else being in their process without even liking it. I'm allowed to appreciate that someone else is in a process all unto themselves in an open container where they're seeing opportunities and exploring their own pathway. And I'm allowed to do that without liking it and still be okay with it. It's amazing. It's amazing what it does. And yet, you know, we're always going to come up with that inner critic, external critic, etc. So this month is really, really about, you know, just flipping the switch, like acting as if it wasn't going to be a big thing for us to change our mind about the way that we've been doing things. Maybe you've been teaching 6 a.m. classes for the past 17 years, and you decide one day that you are no longer a 6 a.m. teacher. You have opened your mind to the possibility of what life would be like without teaching classes at 6 a.m. And thus, you are also opening your mind to the possibility of where you might make up that hour. And you're allowed to change your mind about it. And I can sit here in my wobbly chair right now and speak from a good deal of experience, having come from a stellar practice of perfectionism and people pleasing, and having to change tiny aspects of my mind in order to heal some of the wounds that happened from looking for being the best or doing it right or having clients do it right, having to support myself through the bumps in the road and the mess of the process, having to remind myself that my intentions have always been for growth and that sometimes growth is uncomfortable. I've been there through all of it, through changing hours, through raising rates, through closing studios, through selling studios, through leaving clients, through firing teachers, through leaving for a time the work that I've loved to teach for so long, and then coming back, and then maybe leaving again because I'm allowed to change my mind. The beautiful aspect of this that comes into play in a life lesson is that, you know, there's only one certainty in life, and I'm not even going to say what it is, but there's only one, and it all happens at the end. And so in the meantime, playing in the garden of uncertainty, I believe, can make it a little bit more interesting for us along the way. It's not just embracing pandemonium, but it's having the courage to look at the things that are inspiring to us in the moment, interesting, that spark curiosity, that make us tilt our head and want to know more about it, and then giving ourselves permission to go after it and learn about it and make a decision about where it fits or where it doesn't, and then move to the next thing. And get so involved and in love with the process that is discovery and learning and trying things on, and so detached from the approval and acceptance and all of the things that consistently interfere with our process, so that we can ultimately continue as teachers of movement to be moved by our work, mind, body, and spirit. And I believe that movement is the number one access point to fulfillment. I believe that uncertainty is a place where miraculous discoveries happen. And I believe we deserve an opportunity to try it out and try it on and explore. This membership is one big open container of my own design that embraces uncertainty every month. And there's an opportunity for you with every aspect to see what it is you want to do with it. Some of the things are going to align with you and others are going to be like, nope, I don't need that this month. And that's beautiful. It's awesome. Being able to choose and discern and pick what you need is a superpower. Being able to let go of what you don't and what isn't serving you is also a superpower. So as we move through the practice this month together, I want you just to consider the ways in which you really desire change, shifting, things to be different. You have a full journaling exercise on it, but a simple way to go about it is just to think about the things that are standing in your way. Like, I wish I didn't have to teach at this time. I wish I didn't have to work with this class or this client. I wish I could find something that was here in one place and work my hours all together. Or I wish I could ask for more money. Think of all of the things that you're working on right now. And then take a minute and think about how they're holding you back in your growth process. How they might be pushing you towards this exploration for certainty. And then take a minute and think about what the possibilities might be if they weren't there. If you actually asked for more money per hour, taking the risk that some people might not be able to pay it, but maybe a lot of them would be. What's the possibility for your bottom line? If you let go of that client, what is the possibility for a new, amazing, aligned person to show up in your practice? If you decided to take an exercise out of your personal practice because every time you did it, it hurt, what might the possibilities be for movement in your life? And if you decided to put back an exercise that you had previously taken out because it hurt you at one point, but you decided you were ready for it, you changed your mind about it and put it back in, what might the possibilities be for movement in your life? We're talking about getting out of our own way in whatever way possible, taking time to observe what's in front of us, taking time to create an environment where we can actually pull together lots of pieces of information and see where it's leading us, making a decision to act on that information in a way that feels like it's serving us, moving us forward. And giving ourselves permission to change along the way. So friends, it's my hope that this month's audio lesson just lights a fire underneath you, gets you to make those courageous choices, to start taking perspective, giving yourself permission to change your mind, moving towards the uncertainty, and really discovering more of the good stuff. I'll look forward to talking more in our Facebook group, and I'll see you next month.